to you. If you're not saved, you can be saved, you know. Greatest thing in the world, being saved. Because it don't matter what else you have, if you're not saved, you're going to lose it all one day. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Don't profit him nothing. And my heart is happy tonight. Happy is a word you don't hear the world use much. You hear them use thrill. You hear them use kicks. You hear them use wow. Exciting. But there's one word you'll never hear too much out there in the world, and that's happy. That's right. Because happiness is to know the Savior. Living a life within His favor. Having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. Right? I guess it's 7:30. 10 years ago tonight, at seven, about this same time, I was laying on my face at Nebo Baptist Church. And I laid down from 7:30 to about 15 or 20 after 8. 10 years ago tonight, brother. Amen. Amen. Lord's been good to me. I know that means I'm getting old. But you got to get old to die one. And if nobody don't want to die. Nobody don't want to get old. You ain't got no choice. You got to do one or the other. But that's not something to be ashamed of. It's something to be proud of. Even if your hair is getting gray, it's something to be proud of. That's a glory. An older man, sign of wisdom and knowledge. And I remember I never will forget old Joe Parsons sitting up there, and he's sitting right here. The preacher Hall of Field, everybody's just working all over the altar, and I guess there's 75 at the altar that night. People are working, and Mark, the preacher's son or grandson, had played ball with all us boys, and he's the only one that knew who was who. And he'd say, Papa, that one's so-and-so, and that one's so-and-so. And he'd tell them who it was and who wasn't saved, and they'd come and lead us to the Lord. And I remember somebody sticking a Bible down there in front of me and showing me something, but I don't remember what it was. And I shook my head and everything, but I was far beyond what they were talking about. I was doing business with the Lord. When I got up, I looked around, boy, and my eyes are so red. And Linda was right behind me. And I had on a old dumb-looking pair of bell-bottom blue jeans, had a flag on the bottom of them right there. It looked like some kind of nut. Some old kind of striped shirt. And when I got up, I sat down right there where Brother Steve sat on the front seat. We was sitting way back there. And I never will forget, old Joe Parson looked right down at me, and there was about 50 people standing there, and he looked right at me and said, "Did you get everything settled, son?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And old Joe Parson was a big man. And it's hard to believe. 10 years have went by so fast. In a way, it seems fast. Another way, it seemed like 1,000 years. Some ways of looking at it, it seemed like eternity. In other ways, it seemed like just a few short days. But it's been good. God's been good to me. My problems have always come from me not being good to Him. I've never had a problem with Him. It's always me. And so tonight, I didn't plan this like this. It just so happened that it come out tonight. But I want to bring you a message on some things that I have learned. There's a few things that I've learned. I'm a hard-headed person. You've heard people say that about me probably. I get criticized for being that way. But God never has called a preacher yet that wasn't hard-headed. They have to be. You know why they have to be hard-headed? To butt head with them hard-headed church members. That's what the Word of God says that. God called Jeremiah to preach, and Jeremiah said, "Boy, it's a hard-headed bunch, Lord." And he said, "I know they are, but I'm going to make you harder-headed than they are." And they never have been a preacher that wasn't hard-headed, and that's the reason he is, because he has to be. You just can't be wishy-washy and go along with this and everything in the world. You have to be hard-headed on some things. And it takes me a long time to learn some things. But one thing about it, brother, after I learn them, that's it. I'm hard to get to change after I learn. A lot of things I still ain't learning. I'm still wondering about a lot of things. But one thing for sure, when the Lord teaches you something, you don't forget it. So I'm going to try to share with you tonight some things that I have learned since I've been saved. I'm 28, which means I got saved when I was 18. And I've learned a lot more lessons about life in the last 10 years than I did the first 18 years. Because the beginning of wisdom is a fear of the Lord. And you've got to have that to start with. And so tonight, let's look at verse number 10. Well, let's look at verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you are also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In verse 11, Paul said, I speak not speaking respect of want, for I have learned. He was saying there, he said, since I've been serving God, I've learned some things. I want to try to share with you several things that I have learned since I've been a Christian. I don't claim to know it all. I don't claim to know half of it. I don't claim to know a tenth of it. I don't claim to know a scratch of the surface to what all God has for us. I don't claim to be a Bible scholar. But I do claim to know the Lord and know some things that He's taught me. So with that thought in mind, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this privilege to pray. Thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord. One night. Hallelujah. You saved us by grace. Lord, I'm so glad. Lord, it's been grace that's brought us safe thus far. It'll be grace that takes us on in the rest of the way. One day we'll walk on streets of gold and walk hand in hand with Jesus and with all the saints. And we'll be rejoicing around the throne. And we'll sing when we've been there 10,000 years. Bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Lord, I'm glad You're sweet to us tonight, just like You was 10 years ago. You're sweet to us tonight, just like You was 5 years ago. You're sweet to us tonight, just like You was 3 years ago. Lord, I'm glad that You're here tonight in grace and in power. We pray, our Father, tonight, Lord, that You would move out of our hearts, out of our lives, anything, any action, any attitude, anything about us that's wrong, sinful, wicked, not becoming to a child of God. Move out of our church. Anything that's wrong tonight, Lord, and we'll praise You and thank You for what You do. Save that one which is lost tonight. Encourage that one which is discouraged. Help us to learn as we walk with You day by day. In Jesus' blessed name we pray, and for His sake, visit with us tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to try to talk to you just briefly tonight, by the help of the Lord, on some things that I have learned. All right, when I first got saved and became a child of God, I didn't know anything about the Bibles. I still don't know a lot, but then I didn't know anything. My mom took us to church when I was little. We went to the Methodist church for the last 6 years old. I went to Bible school when I was a little kid, and I learned the story about Jonah and the whale, and Noah and the ark, and Daniel in the lion's den, and I remembered those things. But the night I got saved, if you would have held a gun at me and said, quote me one verse of Scripture and tell me where it's at or I'll blow your brains out, I wouldn't have been able to do it. I didn't know anything about the Word of God. I didn't know anything about the Christian walk, the battles with the devil. I didn't know anything about fact, faith, and feeling. I didn't know anything about dispensation. I didn't know anything about grace and law. I didn't know anything about anything concerning the Christian life. And little by little, you know, I begin to learn some things. I'm still learning. You see, when God saves you, He puts you in school. The minute you get saved, God enrolls you in His school. You're in a Christian school. And there ain't no graduates walking around down here on this earth. Every once in a while I meet somebody that acts like they've arrived and that they've already graduated, you know, and they got it all figured out, and they know everything about everything, and they can straighten you out on anything you're wrong on, and they act like they've done graduated. There are no graduates down here in this world. We're still in school. Graduation day is the day we go to heaven and be with the Lord. And so, excuse me, the Lord began to teach me some things. He began to change my mind on some things that I had thought for years. And you know, as I began to read the Word of God, as I began to go to revivals and hear different preachers preach, I remember going down there to the camp meeting, and old Brother Ed McAbee was holding the camp meeting. And I remember sitting there listening, and every word he'd say, I'd just drink it in. It'd just go right through me. And I'd just leave that place rejoicing. And I begin to learn some things. I begin to learn that I had looked at a lot of things the wrong way. And it changed my mind. And God is still teaching all of His children. The first thing I want to say tonight that I have learned since I've been saved, I have learned never, never to envy the wicked. You know, back before I got saved, I used to look at the Beatles. I used to look at the Rolling Stones. And I used to envy that bunch. And I thought, boy, wouldn't it be wonderful to be like one of them? Be in a rock group. Everybody know my name. Everybody know who I am. Have money coming in by the millions. Be able to just buy Cadillacs and live in fancy hotels and travel from city to city. And deep down in my heart, I envied them. But it didn't take God long to teach me that we are never to envy the wicked. I've learned not to be envious of sinners. Turning your Bible to Psalm 37. I remember reading this scripture years ago, and God spoke to my heart and showed me not to envy the wicked. Psalm 37, verse 1. Look at it right quickly if you will. I'll not have you turn to too many verses, maybe this and one or two others. But look at Psalm 37 and verse number 1. The Bible said, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Now stop right there just a second. Now if you'll be honest tonight, every one of you would say sometime or another, you've picked up a magazine or you've watched on television and you've seen them movie stars in their $1,000 outfits and their Rolls Royces and things, and something envied them inside. I guess everybody in here has done that at one time or another. And you wanted to be in their shoes. But I tell you, brother, it didn't take the Lord long to teach me that I wouldn't trade places with them for $1,000,000. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. Why, preacher? Look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. It's not trusting in the Lord. And then he tells us, verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, because he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay such as be in an upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of the many wicked. Listen, folks. Listen. Never, never, never look at those sinful crowd, the Hollywood crowd, the rock singing crowd, and envy them. You don't want to be in their shoes. They may be flourishing like a green bay tree, but the Bible said God's going to get out his mower one day, and he's going to go to cutting the grass. He's going to start cutting them down. God does that all the time, you know, just like John Lennon was cut down, just like Elvis Presley was cut down, just like the great stars of days gone by, Marilyn Monroe, what's her name down yonder, Mansfield, Jane Mansfield. Oh, what's her name out yonder? Drowned drunk in the water off the coast of California here the other day. John Belushi, all of those people were cut down like the grass. Amen, brother. I learned never to be envious of the wicked. We may be here tonight and we may have a car payment, house payment, and oh, all the loan companies in town, but we're in better shape, thank God, than the sinful world is, because one of these days they'll be cut down like the grass and spend the eternity in a lake of fire where there's real fire and brimstone tormenting them day and night. Never envy the wicked. If you ever catch yourself envying the wicked, just forget about it. You got it made compared to them. Their old lifestyle. I've learned to let your light shine. Be happy for what you've got. Never envy somebody else. Especially the wicked. Right quickly tonight, I want to tell you the second thing I've learned. One second lesson God taught me, and I didn't learn this out of no book. I learned this by hard knocks. If the devil ever comes along and tells you, boy, them preachers got it made, he don't have to do nothing, it's easy to be a preacher, he's done told you the biggest lie in the country. I ain't putting on no sob story or nothing, but brother, you want to get beat? You just start serving God, trying to do something for Him. And there's another thing I've learned. And I've learned this the hard way. I've learned it by having to eat my words. I've learned it by having to swallow stuff that I didn't want to swallow. But I've learned it. And if you haven't, you will. And this is the next lesson that I've learned. I have learned never to judge another person until you've walked in their shoes. Now, there was a time in my life when I didn't know that. I was awful bad to be critical when I first got saved. When I first got saved, I looked at everybody, and I mean, man, they had to walk a chalk. I'd put it down on them. Many young Christians are bad for that. And I was awful critical. I found out, brother, you can't sling mud without losing ground. And I found out not long after I began to criticize everybody and judge everybody that when I come to the point in life that they were in, I found myself doing the very same thing that I had criticized them for. The Indians have a saying, never criticize your brother until you've walked 1 mile in his moccasins. You should never criticize or judge a Sunday school teacher until you have first stood where he stands and tried to teach yourself. You should never judge a preacher until you stand where he stands and try it yourself. You should never judge a deacon or a worker or anybody in the church for that matter, until you have faced the same situation that they have faced. And I've learned that the hard way. I've learned that the hard way. I remember I used to criticize preachers for not doing this or doing that. And I remember one time, the church I went to, the preacher got up and he said, "Now all the young folks, they're going to take the bus this Saturday and they're going to go to Carowinds." And when I heard that, I went, "That's terrible." Boy, I sat there and I blowed up. And boy, I got mad. And after service was over, I said, "Boy, that's the worst thing I've heard of in my life. They ain't got no business going down there. They're out of the will of God." And the next time he let me preach on Wednesday night, I preached against him. That wasn't none of my job, brother. My job wasn't to run that church. Somebody should have slapped me in the mouth. But I was off. Anything I wouldn't do, I'd get down on somebody else for doing it. But you know what was really in the bottom of it? You know what's really a matter with people when they get that judging attitude? They can't never have any fun, and it just kills them for somebody else to. It just kills them. So they lash out at them. Now, I want you to understand what I'm saying. If I'd have heard a preacher preach like I'm preaching to you tonight 8 years ago, I'd have said, he's a compromiser. But I have learned never to judge somebody till you've been there where they are. You know what happened about a year or two ago? Brother Danny Tucker over here, some of them got together and said, we're going to take the teenagers over to Gatlinburg for a day to spend the day. Is that all right with you? You know what I said? I said, well, wash over, that's fine. Boy, ain't I a hypocrite. I didn't understand what my pastor was going through in those days. I didn't understand that he had three or four different crowds that you couldn't please in those days. I didn't understand that maybe deep down in his heart he didn't approve of it, but he allowed it just to keep down a bunch of hell raising. I've learned never criticize somebody else till you've been where they've been, folks. If you want to make a fool out of yourself and eat your words, just judge other people, and one day God will turn that thing right around and give you a dose of the same medicine. See what you'll do with it. I'm not saying it's all right for sin. I'm not saying get soft. I'm just saying don't judge somebody till you've been where they've been. Old guy one time, he's in a taxidermy. There's an owl sitting there. And he said, that ain't no good job on that owl. He's too skinny. That don't look real. You're supposed to make him look real, man. His head's crooked. His wings are not fluffed out right. That'll never work. And about that time, the owl flew away. See what happens when you judge people? He said, I'd get out of the taxidermy business if I couldn't beat that. And God made that thing, man, as real as you can get. That's right. And like a woman pulls up here to the service station. And she said, young man, come out here. There's something wrong. It's knocking. There's a noise in there. He pulls it up and says, well, I believe he just preaches too many revivals. You go to another church, and they say, our preacher must not be very good. Nobody ever calls him for a revival. And you know what that means? That means you can't please people. They'll find something wrong no matter what you do. So you better just do what God gives you and let them like it or lump it. Bump it, jump it, choke on it, whatever they want to do. You can't please them. Now, I know that makes some of you mad. Because you'd like to control me. That's right. You'd like to be able to dictate to Brother Danny what he does. But I tell you, Brother Ed taught me a long time ago to just be like an old loose mule in the pasture. And don't let them put no bridle on you. And don't let them tell you what to preach, how to preach, when to preach, where to preach, what not to preach, how long to preach. Just preach to please God. You'll never get nowhere if you let people boss you and dictate to you what you can do and what you can't do. You can't please them. I'm saying this to help you because you're going to run up against the same battle I'm talking about. Your preacher's going to hit it one day. I talked to old Brother Gene that night. He might get mad at me telling this, but the Lord brought it to my mind. It started... He's run into it already. Honeymoon is over. I talked to him and he said, how's it been going, brother? And I said, wonderful. Can't complain, you know. The devil's fighting, but the Lord's been good to us. And I said, sometimes if you didn't know it was the Lord's church and the Lord's work and the Lord's battle, you just won't blow your brains out. But other than that, things are wonderful. Because it seems like there ain't one thing wrong. You get one thing fixed, something else blows up. And he said, don't tell him I said this. He said, brother, if I didn't know where the Lord wanted me, sometimes I'd blow my brains out. That's an honest confession of a good pastor. Thank God he knows better than that. He better know better than that. It ain't his battle. It's the Lord's battle. It's the Lord's church. and the Lord's battle. I tell you something else. If everybody likes you, you're a hypocrite. If everybody pats you on the back, and everybody thinks you're a good buddy boy, and everybody agrees with you, you ain't much. It used to kill me to take a doctrinal stand on things. Because I preached in different churches. I preached in Free Will, Missionary, Church of God, Pentecostal, different churches like that, and I wanted them all to like me. And when I had to take a definite stand on doctrine, I knew that was going to cut my throat in a lot of places. And I hated to do that because I like friends. But there come a time in my life where I said, I'm going to have to do it if I please God. Amen. And I can tell you some things. A lady called me yesterday. And I'm not going to get technical with it. It might be some of your kin folks. But just as a way of illustration, give me down the road for preaching something that I preached a couple of weeks ago. And what it was once saved, always saved. She gave me down the road for that. She said, I just wouldn't listen to such as that. And I like friends. I don't want no enemies. But you can't please them all. You can't please them all. If you do, you won't be pleasing the Lord. All right, let's move on right quick. The next thing I've learned, and I've learned this. Here it is. Believe none of what you hear, half of what you see, and really only what you read in the Word of God. I've learned that. I hope everybody got that first part. Believe none of what you hear, half of what you see, and really, truthfully, only what you read in the Word of God. There ain't but one thing for sure in this world, and that's the Word of God. Amen. Nothing else is really sure. Old brother came to me one time and he said, boy, I love the Word of God. I'm glad to be in the Word of God, ain't you? And I said, yeah. And he said, I'd rather be in the Word of God than in heaven. And I said, whew, would you? He said, I sure would. I'd rather be in the Word of God than in heaven right now. And I said, really? And he said, I sure would. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. Amen. There ain't but one thing sure, folks. That's that Word of God right there. Amen. What you heard may be true and may not be true, so you better not believe it. Amen. You know, I found out after you start going to church, you can hear some awful things. This is only the third church I've ever belonged to. The one I got saved in, one more, and this one. In every one of those churches, you know what I heard? Rumors. Rumors, rumors, and more rumors. And it wasn't rumors of war. I guess that's what it was. But it wasn't a tribulation, brother. It was among the saints. And I heard rumors, and I found out that my confidence was killed in a lot of good Christian people simply because of rumors about them that I had listened to. And I just got to where I didn't listen to what nobody said. How many people right now do you think don't have no confidence in somebody else? Not because of something they've seen or know, just because of something they heard. And they don't know if it's true or not, but they ain't liked that person since they heard it. Did you know somebody can tell you something bad about somebody and you'll start disliking that person? Right. And that can go on for years and years and sap you of your joy. You'll sit there miserable, and every time I preach something like this, it'll bother you real bad, and you'll wish I'd preach something else, and you just can't enjoy being saved because you listen to too many lies. Amen. I'm glad I ain't a woman. Amen. I am. I'm glad I ain't. You can make out of that what you want to. Think what you want to. I don't care. It's done been thought before. But the reason I am is because a lot of time women stay at home and they're susceptible to more gossip. Now everybody in here, I'm not putting women down, I'm not discriminating, but everybody in here knows that women gossip more than men. Some of you women are going, oh, you're crazy too. If you know what I know, you wouldn't be a bit afraid to make a statement like that. I know what I'm talking about. I've learned from experience. I've been in 3 churches, which ain't a lot. But I found out in every one of them, women run their mouth more than men did. I didn't say men was not guilty. Men gossip. Men sometimes is just as bad. But on the average, women are worse to spread rumors. Heard about this one lady that traded in her vacuum cleaner for a telephone, she could pick up more dirt like that. I've been planting grass in my yard. You know what I found out? It takes dirt to grow things. That's why gossip spreads so fast. Talk about air pollution. Well, I preach about air pollution. We ought to put up a sign over our ears saying, no dumping. Why in the church like that? No dumping. Don't dump your trash on me. I don't want to hear it.
Amen.
Somebody come to me and say, Brother Danny, there's something bothering me. It's about Mike McDaniel. You notice he ain't been sitting with Sherry at church. You notice he's been sitting over in front of Judy. Have you noticed that? What about a devil? What about a she-devil that would sit in church and instead of listening to what the preacher said, sit around here and think up stuff like that? That's the old serpent from Genesis 3, brother. Look at him. Look at him. I bet she's her poor little with that baby. Oh, and he's running around on her. Oh, he's wicked. Brother Danny gets up. Mike McDaniel will be preaching Wednesday night. Well, I ain't coming. Now, I know that sounds funny, but you know stuff like that really happens. I know I'm oversimplifying the case, but stuff like that really goes on. If I told you some stuff that I had heard about me, honest to goodness, I'm tempted to tell it. I know the devil had to make that up. You could sit and think for hours and not think up something like that. The devil had to do that. You should never go on just something that you heard. Some people believe everything they hear like it is the truth. I've learned not to believe nothing I hear. I've heard people cut down preachers. I've heard them talk about Jack Howell. I've heard them talk about John R. Rice. I've heard them cut down preachers like that. And brother, you know what I do when somebody does it? I let it go in one ear and out the other. I've learned that. I've learned you can't. You know why? 9 times out of 10, they're jealous of them, and they're trying to cut them down to their size. Anytime somebody criticizes you, they're just trying to cut you down to their size. Rumors and rumors. You know, a gossiper, they know just what to leave out of the conversation to make it sound like they want it to sound. They can tell the truth, but leave off the last part and make you think something that ain't the truth. That's right. That Mike. See how he shined his shoes? See it? Judy's been fixed. Look at that hair. She's up to something. Oh, she's after that man. You say, I know it because I dreamed about it one night. I've had people tell me that. I just had a feeling. I had a dream. Well, big deal. You had a vision, all right, brother. The Lord didn't give it to you, though. But boy, when they ever do get one right, see there, I told you, I knowed something was wrong. Boy, it's on them, brother, when they finally do it like Gene Dixon. Get 1 out of 100 right, and they think she's a prophet of some kind or another. Anybody can guess at something. You know, envy is the mother of gossip. It's the mother. And so I've learned not to believe nothing I hear, half of what I see, and really only what I read in the Word of God. I've learned that. If any of you this tonight was to come up and tell me something about somebody else in this church, I wouldn't believe it. Now, it might hurt your feelings. I'm not calling you a liar or nothing, but I just wouldn't believe it. One preacher one night, one of his members said, I come to you about the fault of one of the brothers in the church. He said, hold it just a minute. Does anybody else know this? And they said, no. And he said, well, don't tell me. Take it home and bury it. If you want to tell anybody, tell Jesus. If the Lord wants to bring a scandal on His church, let Him do it. But don't be guilty of bringing a scandal in the Lord's church. Amen. Don't be guilty of being a sinner and bringing a scandal in the Lord's church. You say, well, what I told, I know it's the truth. But still, some things, even though they're the truth, ought not to be told. Amen. You want me to get up here and tell everything I know about you next Sunday morning? And tell the truth? Do you want me to do that? I could tell you some dillies, brother. And every bit of it be the truth. I could make some people in here hang their head if I wanted to. But I ought to have better sense than that. Not to repeat. It ain't going to help nobody. It won't edify the church. It'll be just to bring shame and reproach to a Christian or a child of God. And therefore, I've learned to keep it shut up. Bury it. Next lesson I've learned right quick tonight, and I'm going to hurry, is not to live by feelings. I've learned that. Don't live by your feelings. Your feelings are like the weather. It changes every day. Did you notice how rainy and bad and dreary it was yesterday? Then this morning? There wasn't a cloud in the sky. Now, your Christian life is just like it. One day, brother, like God is a million miles away, and you're about ready to give up. But the next day, the presence of the Lord just comes in your heart, and He's right beside you all day long. Have you ever noticed that? Now, you know what God's trying to teach you there? You don't live by your feelings. There's a lot of people that would be here tonight, but they ain't here. And you know why? They're going by their feelings. Has this ever crossed your mind? I'm so mixed up. I'm so confused. I believe I'll just stay out of church for a few weeks, see if I can get straightened out. Has that ever crossed anybody in here's mind? I see a few heads nodding. Well, you know who that was talking to you? It wasn't the Lord. The Lord don't tell you to stay out of church and get straightened out. The Lord tells you to get in church and get straightened out. He's told me that. He's told you that. If you'll be honest. He's told you, oh, just stay away from all them Christians for a while. You know what he's doing? He's trying to get your heart farther away from God so you'll backslide. Go back to sin like you used to be. Don't go with your feelings. Here's the way the Christian works. Fact, faith, feeling. In that order. Number one, you get the facts. There's the facts. Number two, you have the faith. You believe the facts. Number three, the feeling comes after the faith. I'd say there's probably somebody sitting in here, and you done something wrong about 6 months ago, and the devil ain't let you get over it yet. And you still ain't been happy of service because the devil ain't let you get over what you've done wrong. Now, either you or God one is a liar. Because God said if you confessed it, He'd forgive you. Now, either you think taking God at His word, or you're a liar, or God is one. Now, who is it? It's you going by your feelings. That's your problem. Have you ever sat around and you think, boy, I just don't feel like I used to. I remember I used to feel so good, and I don't never feel like that no more. I used to could raise my hand and feel this way. The devil's talking to you. You ain't a bit different than you ever have been. Your only problem is now you're looking for a feeling and doing what you did to get the feeling the first time. You know what you got done to get the feeling the first time? Heard the facts, believe the facts, then God give you the feeling. You know what you're doing now? You're looking for that feeling back so you can believe the facts. You got it backwards. Start believing the facts. Believe you're saved. Believe you're on your way to heaven. Have faith in it. Then God will give you that feeling back. Yeah. The devil mess you up like that. And I wish I could explain that a lot better, but that's the best I can do right now. Number six. Sixth thing I've learned. There's nine of these. I'll give you these six and three more quickly. It's better to put trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. That's a middle verse of the Bible. I've learned that in 10 years being a Christian. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man because people are human and they will fail you. Every favorite preacher that I've got, I've found out something about them that hurt my confidence in them. Every one of them. With one it'll be this, and with another it'll be that, and with another it'll be something else. And every time that happens, I say, God, I thought He was really, 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 really right. And the Lord speaks to my heart and says, don't put your confidence in man, put your trust in me. God won't share His glory with another. And if you start getting too much confidence in somebody, God will let them fall right in front of you and mess up so you won't steal the glory that belongs to Him. God ain't going to share His glory with no man, brother. You start lifting up a man too high, God will put him on his face right in front of you so you'll put your faith in the Lord. I know what I'm talking about. I've learned that. I've had it happen to me over and over and over again. Over and over again. I'm sure some of these others have been saved for a while can tell you case after case after case after case where they just lifted somebody up and said, boy, they can do no wrong. And God said, look at that. You better worship me. I'm not saying that we should just doubt everybody. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a certain amount of confidence in our brothers and sisters. But as far as really confidence and trust, you better put that in the Lord. Because people will fail you. You can mark it down. He'll never let you down, brother. I can preach a message on that. He'll never let you down. Brother Ed preaches a message, Jesus never fails. Right quickly, number 7 tonight. I've learned to wait on the Lord. I've learned that the hard way too, in your decisions. Wait on the Lord. Don't jump up and do the first thing that pops in your mind. You'll mess up. Your job, your home, your marriage, your house, your work, your ministry, your church. If God, you preachers, God calls you to pastor a church. Be careful. Wait on the Lord. Sometimes you can get ahead of the Lord. Jump too quick. Now, every time you jump too quick, if you're not really sure you're in the Lord's will, it's like one of you preachers up here. A certain church calls you to preach. Then they say, would you like to pastor this church? You pray about it, and you're not really sure. You're not sure it's God's will. But you say, well, it must be because they asked me, and it's open door. I don't know if it's the Lord's will or not. And you say, I'm going to go ahead and take it anyway by faith. All right, you go ahead and take it. About 6 months later, you have about a church split. And everybody's in trouble, and they hate you, and they start turning against you. You know what you're going to think? The devil's going to jump right on your back then and say, see there? You were never supposed to be here to start with. And that's going to make you battle 10 times harder. But if you get it settled first, see, and you know you're in God's will, then you go on out here when trouble comes up. You can say, well, we may be troubled, but hallelujah, I know I'm in God's will. And I know God put me here, so I'm ready to stand and fight. Now, there's the difference between waiting on the Lord and jumping. First time somebody says jump. I'm warning you. I've made a lot of mistakes since I've been saved. Bought cars. Done things like that. When deep down inside, I know it wasn't the right place, the right time, the right opportunity. And every time I regretted it. There's been one thing I got settled. Even my call to preach bothered me for a long time. Because I started preaching 11 months after I got saved, and at that time I wasn't completely sure. And it was over in Knoxville, Tennessee when the Lord did show me for sure. But when we started this church, there was not a doubt in my mind that I knew I was in God's will. Now, ain't been very many times when I've been like that. And I guess God just give me that so when the hard time did come, I can say, well, praise God, I know I'm in the Lord's will. And that makes it a lot easier. When the battle rages, if you know you've waited on God, then you can stand a lot better. You young people getting married, you better wait. Oh, you say, I just can't wait. You better. You better. Because hard time to come, and when it comes, you can say, well, I know I'm in God's will. Right quick. Number 8, I've learned this. When you go against the Word of God, you pay. I've learned that by experience. When you break God's Word, you pay. You pay the fire, just like Jonah did. God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. He took off the other way. He paid. Every time you break God's Word, you pay. You pay by not having any joy. Have you ever done something wrong? And you're looking for God to kill you? I have. And you walk around just waiting. I'm going to have a wreck. I know I'm going to have a wreck. God's going to smite me with a terrible disease. And it don't happen. And the devil says, see, there you ain't saved because you ain't getting chastised. But you know what? God knows what He's doing. And He knows the best way to chastise you. The best way to chastise you is let you go around and worry like that for about 2 months.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
I could sin against the Lord and go down the road and have a flat tire. And I'd say, glory to God, this is all the punishment I get. Hallelujah, just as long as I got your presence, Lord, out. Who cares about a flat tire? And God knows that, and that's why He don't ever do that to me. He knows that don't bother me. But you know what God does to me when I do wrong? He takes His presence away from me. He knows that gets me worse than anything. He can hear me saying this right now too. And He knows that gets me worse than anything. So He just backs off and says, "All right, buddy." And I say, "Lord, don't leave me now. I got to preach Sunday."